And Kathy Dawes now, along with State Senator Tom Hawke of Manhattan, in studio. And we appreciate that. A lot of times we have to sneak these in by phone, and you have committee hearings, and it's tough, yeah. But it's welcome you here to the studio. And do want to remind our listeners, as always, phone lines are open. Here's your chance. He's right here. If you have questions or comments, 537-1350, toll-free 866-776-1350, or you can tweet us at 1350KMAN. Some interesting budget discussion yesterday. I don't know if meltdown might be the proper terminology, but kind of share what happened in the Senate yesterday, Tom.
Well, 31 of my colleagues had a meltdown. I have to say my caucus, the 9 members that can meet in a phone booth, did not. In fact, we were pretty eager for the debate because we had an amendment that I think would actually stop the bleeding on our tax thing that's clearly not fair when the LLCs and sub-S's don't pay any taxes. So we had a plan to put in a three-tiered tax plan that I think would have brought enough income into the state to fix it. So we were eager to have that debate on the tax plan and the budget so that I think we're committed to fixing it. And I'm not saying that my 31 Republican colleagues aren't committed to fixing it. They just can't get a consensus. And I think their meltdown was caused. They thought they had 21 members, and my friends in the Republican leadership had kind of hinted that they thought they had that a few weeks ago, and then they didn't, and thought they would have it for yesterday, and they didn't. So when they caucused, they just called off the game, I guess for rain. And we were all sitting there twiddling our thumbs, ready to go to work. So I'm hoping that next week people will be willing to get together. And I think it's, again, if I weren't in the thick of this, I would think it was kind of humorous to watch it from the outside in a way. But I think there's about a dozen new people in the Republican caucus that came in very committed to fixing our tax structure in spite of the blowback that they might get from some groups. And they're ready to do that. And I think leadership is being a little more cautious, and they had a big plan to do some cuts, particularly to higher ed, which would hurt K-State terribly. And K-12, which I think, while it looks like there might be reserves, there aren't the reserves that they think there are, and that does have consequences. So I think their plan had some holes in it, and I and several of my Democrat colleagues were ready to fix that, and sort of sad we didn't get a chance, but I'm guessing we'll get a chance next week.
Well, and I have to say, I'm thankful that I am an observer to the process. And when you're talking $1.2 billion, that's a lot of money. I just can't even imagine having to try to figure all that out. And it's an ongoing process.
It is complicated. And I would, the news media reported that. That's over a two-year period in terms of what those taxes would raise. But I want your listeners to know, and the people in Manhattan, that fixing the tax doesn't really fix it this year because, as we think about it, our tax rates are already set for this year, and that won't bring in any money. And they're making it retroactive on the business end of it to January 1st, but they're giving people a full year to pay that. So we won't likely get any revenue from the tax bill until over a year from now. So we have to do some more Band-Aids, and I'm tired of the Band-Aids. I think the public is tired of the Band-Aids.
You say you've been getting questions, and I know this has come up before, right on these very airwaves, about the lottery. Why can't we use that money?
I had a continues
to be an ongoing question.
I had a great question yesterday from a constituent, and pretty pointed and a little bit angry about this, and just saying, you know, why don't you guys just kind of get real and quit sending all that money into what I think people perceive is it doesn't go to where people said it was going to go, which was education, and that it's going for economic development. And the person who wrote me the email had a good point, said, why are you putting all this money into economic development? If we don't have schools and roads, we're not going to have jobs, and we don't need to do economic development. And I might argue a little bit with that because the kinds of things we do, but I wrote her back and said, I think there's a misconception that even though we expanded the lottery from the ticket sales and we have these huge Powerball lotteries that look like a lot of money, so people think there maybe are billions of dollars that come into the state, and the casinos do generate maybe $360-some million in business, But the state doesn't get all that. Most of that goes back to the people who are gambling. Same way with the lottery tickets. So we only get about $78 million in the state's share on the lottery tickets and about $92 million from the casinos. And you know, a million here, a million there, they're talking real money. But that's not enough to fill the hole that we have. We have a 300 and it was 350. Revenues were up 20-some million dollars, so it's about $320 to $325 million hole we have to fill this year. But next year, it's over $500 million hole that we have to fill. So the lottery just isn't enough money to do that. And what we do have actually goes to debt service and CAPERS and some other things that actually, in a roundabout way, supports K-12 and education.
Still just mind-boggling to me. I just, when you get into those kinds of numbers, trying to see if this phone call might be for us. Again, 537-1350 if you have questions or comments for Tom. We only have him on for a little bit. Apparently it is for us, so let's go ahead and take that call. Welcome to In Focus. Go ahead, please.
Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning.
Okay, Tom.
Hi.
Known you for years, and I voted for you all the time.
Well, I'm not going to hold that against you. I'm not sure I'm happy I won this election.
I always wondered about one thing. Kansas was taxing other food. Other states have a luxury tax.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, goodness, you go to the store, and if you notice, prices have really gone up. Why? I mean, the whole thing is that people that are trying to feed their families, and they're taxed for food, and I can see a luxury tax, but I don't see really taxing for food. I'd like to have you answer that. Okay.
Well, I can see why we're like-minded. I don't like the taxing of food either. And I think as food has gone up, that's become an even greater tax, and it's regressive.
Yes.
And it lands on the poor certainly more than it does other people.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
And the fix Kansas has always found itself in is the tax on food generates anywhere from $350 to $400 million into our budget. So, again, back to my comment about the lottery, and that is a fix. When you have that big a hole, you can't afford to give that up.
Yeah, and how in the world? I mean, of course, people have really cut out smoking. I mean, tax the smokers. Oh, come on.
They're getting smart. The smokers have figured that they can go across the border and save some tax money. And the assumption that Kansas people only stay in Kansas, especially on the border counties on the east and north and south of the state. A little harder to go across the border out in western Kansas because not as many people live there.
Being raised in a border town, Atchison, mm-hmm. I'm all too well aware of people crossing the border for liquor also in the day. So, good point made there.
Now, I will let you know that there's a group called Rise Up Kansas, and it's merged with the Contractors Association, who's concerned about the highways, and some other groups who are concerned about healthy Kansans in general. And there is their proposal in balancing the budget does put a three-tier tax schedule, stops the loophole, and has an 11-cent gas tax in their proposal. But they're recommending lowering the tax on food to 5%. So I think there could ultimately be, in the end, not right now, there's not 21 votes in the Senate or 63 in the House, apparently, for that plan. But I think there could be by the time we fight a while longer. We have more days like yesterday. And the Democrats have a resolution that we're going to propose to have a constitutional amendment to take the food sales tax down to 2%. That would make it fairer for all of our families and everybody, all taxpayers. It's still a hit on the budget, but it would still allow some of the things that we have. So it's not a complete repeal down to zero. So. We'll
Dave has a comment, too, and appreciate the call, 537-1350. Just a few more minutes with Tom.
Actually, just a couple of questions. Mm-hmm. I understand that there has been a bill that's been entered into the Senate for legalization of marijuana, and also Uncorked Kansas is making its presence known again in the state. Can you have comments on a couple of those bills?
Yes. My colleague David Haley has been a strong supporter, particularly of medical marijuana. We have numerous cases where if you do that in the oils, we have some people in the House that have been pushing that on that side too. So Senator Haley is pretty optimistic that maybe this year might be the year that we, at least we get a hearing on that. We've not really ever had good hearings on it. And I think the case for the medical part is a very good case. I don't personally think the Senator House is ready to go with recreational marijuana like Colorado and some other states, but I think the medicinal. And we have a conservative Republican in the House who really wants hemp, thinks that's a product that Kansans could grow, and it has industrial application. So you never know with the more progressive problem-solving mentality we have from the newly elected people. About 50 new people, and most of them, I would say, would fit more into a problem-solving moderate category or progressive category.
I've seen hemp actually in lotions and shampoos and that kind of thing. We apparently have a phone call. Welcome to In Focus. Go ahead.
I didn't get to your uncorked, but I'll get to that. Sorry.
Sure does appreciate your logical thinking and your ability to express those things. We got a problem here as the economic engine in this part of the state. We need a thicker runway out here at the airport so we can land bigger aircraft out here at the airport. Anybody you know in there with the feds or anybody in economic development can get us the money for a thicker runway out here at the airport. Thank you.
I think that's been delayed a little bit now. We had a chance to speak with the mayor a couple of days ago, but yeah, your comments on that, Tom?
We actually got the legislature and the state involved, if you'll recall, when we wound up bringing American Airlines here. That was even a little bit of struggle with a Democratic governor for Sidney Carlin and I to pry some money away from the governor so we could guarantee American Airlines having enough revenue so they'd take the risk to come here. And I think that was a great gamble for the state to do that. We never had to pony up the line of credit. Same way, again, the problem we have, KDOT is really the group that has money, not just for roads and highways, but for airports and those kinds of improvements. I think we seriously, as much as I hate to think of a gas tax, and I don't know that 11 cents will fly, but some gas tax I think might fly, and that's a way for us to have enough revenue to do the kinds of maintenance things we need to do, not only on our roads, but also for our airports.
Appreciate the phone call. Uncorked, you were going to deal with that
a little bit too? The Uncorked, you're right, and there's a new proposal. They've come back. The dilemma Kansas has is we have what I think is maybe a silly, we have 3-2 beer, and then we have stronger beer, one's by volume and one's by weight, and I always forget which is which. And I think I made the analogy, I think it takes 13 cans of the 3-2 to get the same effect you get with 12 cans of the other. That may not be quite right. And so the new proposal, a lot of the states, I think Oklahoma and Colorado, have done away with the single, or they've gone to the single strength beer. And ultimately, I don't want our grocery stores to be stuck where they don't have any product because the manufacturers don't have enough base if Kansas is the only state. On the other hand, I don't like some of the arguments that we have underage kids who get jobs. Our new representative from Council Grove, Dave Baker, has run a grocery store and had many, many kids in the Council Grove area get training in life skills and how to learn how to work, and they've been in the store. And you don't have that temptation or that problem, and they can check people out, supposedly. So, and we have a declining number of small businesses, and our liquor stores are one of the few small businesses that are independently owned. So I don't want to do something that would cause them to go out of business. So I don't think Uncorked is going to fly yet, but if we really look at the national picture, we're one of the few states left that doesn't allow people to buy liquor. And the proposal now, I just think, is for a single-strength beer and wine, not for the spirits. So who knows what might happen, but I think we still are a relatively conservative legislature, even though we have more progressive that were elected. So I don't see that likely passing. I did get, Dillon's was in, had a great group of people in, the two store managers who are great guys, and the Hy-Vee.
From the Manhattan area?
Yeah, we're mm-hmm. in. And they gave me a couple hundred postcards that people had signed saying they want to be able to have the freedom to buy their alcohol in the store. And I certainly understand the consumer wanting that, but I still support the private free enterprise that we have with our liquor stores, too.
Well, Tom, we could talk all day. Anything else real quickly before we wrap up?
Well, two quick things. We have a Flint Hills Regional Caucus. We're going to have Perry Wiggins in. So Susie Swanson and Sydney and Tom Phillips and I have kind of organized that caucus, and it's grown to about 15 legislators, so we're doing that on Monday. And we did have an interesting thing you may want to talk about later, and that's not privatizing the Lansing prison, but using more of a putting RFPs out. That prison was built around 1859, 1860. It's very old. It does need to be replaced, and I think there's some interesting possibilities to use private funding to build a new prison and tear down that awful old prison. I took kids there my first year of teaching. I think some of them actually earned a ticket to go back and spend some time there, but I think we can save some money by being more efficient, not needing as many guards and staff there. And it's an interesting concept.
Thank you, Tom. And call it any time. You don't have to just wait for your once-a-month visit with us. Again, State Senator Tom Hawk from Manhattan with us. A couple more guests coming up. Gary County's USD 475, Executive Director of Communications Matt Droege, and Junction City High School Principal Melissa Sharp next. And you're listening to In Focus on News Radio, KMAN.
Whether you need a new washer and dryer, refrigerator, stove, or the best night's sleep you've ever had.